This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
505 at Newstalk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. Good afternoon and welcome to Hour 4 of your Afternoon Drive, where the numbers remain 490-5858. Toll free 800-776-5858. Find the program on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook Live at Drive KMJ. Joshua Weekly stands by to screen your calls this afternoon as I join Skip Echeverria back in the KMJ studio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to your drive home.
So we thought we'd try something different for you guys and just do a quick rundown of trending stories, stuff that we have covered today, all of which you'll be able to get at the podcast section at KMJNow.com.
A Florida man gets 8 months in prison in the first felony sentence stemming from the Capitol riots on January 6th. You can weigh in on today's buzz question about it at KMJNow.com.
Jeff Bezos and his crew, including his brother, an 18-year-old Norwegian and an aviation pioneer, blasted into space on board Blue Origin's New Shepard, becoming the second billionaire in just over a week to ride his own spacecraft. 165,000 people have signed a petition suggesting he stay there.
Speaking of space, exploration on Mars continues to break records using the Ingenuity helicopter as part of the Perseverance mission.
Three from Tulare County have been arrested after stealing a tip jar on the Central Coast. Drugs may have been a factor.
Madera Unified School District adds its name to the list of local districts heading back to campus for the upcoming academic school year starting in August.
The argument over the Fresno High mascot is over. A judge has thrown out the lawsuit due to issues with the statute of limitations.
A woman in Fresno chased down her shooter and led police to his whereabouts. He tried to get away on a bike, resulting in his arrest. Then went to the hospital to get treatment for her gunshot wound.
A wanted woman is arrested after she comments on her own most wanted post on Facebook.
In sports, a Yankees fan has been banned for life from all Major League Baseball stadiums after he hit a Red Sox outfielder with a baseball.
Controversy has erupted over the bikini bottom requirement in women's beach handball uniforms after the Norwegian team attempted to wear shorts.
Ooh. And dictionary.com adds over 300 words to its site. Some are debatable, but do use Zaddy.
Don't use Zaddy. If you missed any of those stories, you can get the podcast at kmjnow.com or subscribe Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Deezer. Tune in, and I think on iHeart too. Go check it out. Just search for KMJ's Afternoon Drive. This is finally, something has come from TikTok that I don't hate, and I think that everybody in America needs to hear about it. A TikToker, Jay Len here, just going by Jay, wanted to get folks up to speed about a customer who cussed him out after her food was delivered about 2.5 hours late. Well, you would say that seems reasonable.
Yeah.
The 2.5 hour late delivery comes after the customer had made the decision to offer a $5 tip on a $300 order.
Somebody's not doing the math correctly. That's not a whole lot.
So Jay prefaces this little educational content saying, before you comment something stupid, I received the order 2 to 3 hours late. I didn't care about the tip. It's DoorDash's fault and her fault for the order being late. How in the world is that? Well, it turns out that when you place an order on DoorDash, it does not get assigned. It is offered. The Dashers can see what you ordered and how much you tipped before they decide whether or not they'll be willing to pick up your food.
Which is understandable considering people are trying to maximize their time. Gas prices going up. Is it worth it to hurry up and get on this if I'm only going to make $5. No. So actually, he was being the good guy saying, I'll do it.
No. He was being the opportunist. So once an order sits for a certain length of time, DoorDash increases what they will pay to the driver themselves.
Okay.
So if you have
supply and demand, man.
If you have a bad tipper, your order may sit on the DoorDash service until DoorDash eats enough of the cost to motivate a driver to take it, which in this case is exactly what happened with Jay. At the 3-hour mark, DoorDash was willing to pay like $25 for somebody to go get this order.
Okay, well, on that note, smart man. Now, his video has received more than 620,000 views on TikTok, and some comments coming in. I love this one. People who order that much food got to learn how to cook. Another said, if you can afford to order out, you can afford to tip. Oh, man, $5. I think sometimes, too, there's misconceptions about, well, I paid for it, the tip's included. Look, I admit, it wasn't that I was a cheap tipper. I just would look at the tax and double it. That was kind of the way that my mom worked in the service industry back in the day. Being married to somebody who worked in fine dining for so long and has been a waiter and everything on up, I have to up my tipping game because my husband's super generous. And I know sometimes he looks at me and I'm like, okay, fine, a couple bucks more. But that's because I'm cheap. But it does get a little bit kind of sideways with some of the home delivery stuff. I think because it's a new area and people are cheap.
I think that the problem is people are cheap. And I think that this customer's issue kind of goes to part of the reason that you can't get people to show up to work at a restaurant anymore. You should be grateful for the opportunity to serve me. No, I'm here to get paid. And if you want that kind of service, you need to pony up, yo.
You know what was? It's interesting about what you were just saying. And we have an article about that. Low pay, no benefits, and rude customers are really making it hard to hire people. One of the ways that we've seen many restaurants and things or just service industry stuff combat the few number of people working is they'll put signs up, you know, please be patient with our staff. Please tip well. They showed up when so many didn't. Yes. However, it also, by extension, if you take that a couple steps further, says they work really hard, but we don't necessarily want to pay them more, so you need to pick up the tab here. Do you see what I mean? I mean, it gets a little bit into that territory, like tip them and make their, you know, show that you care about their work. Yeah, but... You know,
see, you and I are on very different places on this.
I mean, it's just worth an argument. Again, though, I'm cheap and have to force myself to tip more.
I like over tipping. One of my favorite things to be able to do is to go out, have a meal, and then leave not just a good tip, but a stupid tip. Part of that is because I detest working with the public. The idea of being in a customer service position or a food service position, I don't know if I can ever go back. Because like 99 out of 100 people are great and they just want to get stuff done. They want their need met, whatever it might be, and everybody's pleasant and impersonal and off we go. And then there's that 1 in 100 that tests my resolve, that tests my ability to refrain from losing my mind and screaming in their face. And I have terrible impulse control. So it's hard for me, like gives me heart problems, makes me see spots hard for me. When I go out and I have a meal and somebody brings me food and brings me drinks and is nice to me, and you know, laughs at the you know, the dad joke that I make while we're getting through the process, I want to reward that person. I want to say thank you. 15% is not enough. 20% is not enough. So I usually overtip pretty significantly. With DoorDash and those delivery services, or even the takeout stuff where I'm going and getting the food, I tend to bring it way back. I tend to be a little more, you know, 15 to 20% kind of thing. I agree that restaurants should treat their people better, but I also think that this is a social situation that's existed for long enough that people who want to go out and have that service should know what the deal is.
Yeah. Well, and I think that when it comes to using these services, there is a disrespect for the folks that go and fetch the food, yeah. You know? And this is an opportunity where somebody's given you a little kind of backdoor glimpse into what that looks like. So if you want to have your food faster, you got to throw in a little bit of money. Yeah. I feel like the $5 on 300, like anybody should know that. But then again, you know, everybody's kind of new to, many people are kind of new to this and some are super cheap. And maybe don't necessarily understand the ways in which like DoorDash, Grubhub and those kind of things really do or have stuck it to their drivers. I go back to like Uber. Maybe I'm wrong with applying that to like Grubhub or whatnot or DoorDash. But I mean, when you went back and really did the math on Uber drivers and stuff for a while, like folks were, you know, not necessarily, they weren't making all kinds of extra money doing these jobs.
Oh no, there's people who were driving for Uber that were basically at break even once you actually factored in like vehicle maintenance and up, you know, the increased cost of insurance. I like rideshare. I'm a fan of it, especially like when I go out drinking. I don't necessarily want to walk home. I definitely don't want to drive home. If somebody has to put up with me after I've had three or four whiskeys, they probably deserve a couple extra dollars in their pocket. Were you cool? Did you let me just sit back there and laugh at my own jokes? Great. You're a much better person than I am. Thank you for not letting me get myself into trouble. Here's some more money. Please have a great night.
And a 5-star review. Speaking of this, though, on the flip side, there is this great thing that has started as a result of things like TikTok. There is a woman named Lexi. She is the first serial tipper. And what she does is she gets people to send her spare change in, their spare change in, send 50 cents, spend it all, whatever. And then she goes around and drops $1,000 tips.
Yes.
To people. And so she's been all over the place doing it. And then she posts the videos. But as the result of like one video, she got like $45,000 in donations and more, almost a 500,000 TikTok followers. So it's just this other flip side of that, of where people do really want to be generous. And that crowdfunding turns out pretty awesome for these servers that really show up for work.
I love it. And if I had a way to verify it was legit, I would definitely be a part of it. But that's like, that's one of my goals. Before I turn, I think 45, I want to find an excuse to drop $1,000 tips. Of course, I'm not going to crowdfund it. But.
It's a new era in news talk. Only on News Talk 580 1059 KMJ.
So we mentioned to you the viral TikTok that was explaining if you want to have your food delivered quickly, then you should probably make sure to tip more. We have a phone call just a second, but I want to read this tweet coming in from Garrett. The quality of the service needs to be the driving factor of the quality of the tip. Excellent service equals an excellent tip. However, my question there is, isn't all judgment of service subjective?
Yes, it is. I think that the decision on how to tip and how much to tip and when to tip, it's the entire thing's subjective. If you don't know what's going on in the kitchen, if you don't know how the manager was today, if you don't know how the last table was, if you don't know whether that server's mom has cancer, did your food show up hot? Did they bring you your extra sauce? Did they keep your drinks full? Did they smile? Pay 20%. If you can afford to eat out, have some gratitude that your life's that good. because there's a real good chance that that kid that you're thinking about sliding $2 behind the check after you sign cash is going to go home and eat coffee maker ramen.
Well, and I think what we've really seen as a result of the pandemic is it's easy to think it's entry level work that's going into restaurants. It's not. It's people that have been there forever. And actually, I've shared this before. Mr. Skip started in a restaurant when he was like 17 years old up until 37 and quit right before the pandemic. There was nothing else. Then the pandemic happened and there was an opportunity for a lot of people to sit around and go, okay, wait a second. And we have an article on that coming up. But we do have a phone call, so I didn't know if
you wanted to get to that. But just once again, unless you have some auricular insight into all that is going on, if they get it right, if they're nice about it, if you're having a good time and enjoying your meal, cough up, man. If you have the largesse to pay somebody to act as your servant for an hour, treat them right. Good Lord. Bruce, welcome to KMJ.
Hi, was that for Bruce?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, you figured it out. I had a question. Given the situation you explained earlier, does that mean if you order a $5 or $10 DoorDash delivery, you have to pitch in a $10 or $20 tip to make sure it arrives timely?
No, not at all. It's going to depend upon... what's your rating as a customer? Are you tipping a reasonable percentage of the order? And what's the distance? Because if you try to get somebody to drive 45 minutes to bring you a Nachos Bel Grande and you're tipping 5%, you're going to wait a little while. If you live 5 minutes from Taco Bell and you're tipping 15%, your nachos are going to show up Johnny on the spot. It's more than one variable that goes into that. So it's a good question, but no, it's not a check size thing in and of itself. It's a, are you making this worth the driver's while?
Well, and I think it's also just helpful to know the ins and outs of how that works with DoorDash, because as you mentioned, I think there is, at least for me, I think of DoorDash the way I would think about pizza delivery. I call, I place my order, it comes to me. Because they have delivery people. I didn't even think about the part of people being able to accept or deny.
And I tip my pizza guy better than I used to, because Mrs. Teresi delivered pizza and worked in pizza. I mean, she started with me and Ed's when she was in high school, and she finished with Mother Mary's like as she was headed off to work on her teaching credential. And she did Me and Ed's, Da Vinci's, and Mother Mary's. And I think there was one other one in there.
Are you sick of pizza yet?
I love pizza. So at her prompting, my idea of an appropriate tip for a pizza drop-off was like $3. And after a while, like just doing the math in my head, I'm like, no, that's not enough.
She didn't adjust for inflation.
She didn't adjust for inflation because she's remembering when gas was $1.98
right.
a gallon, and she was bumping around Clovis, and it just we finally adjusted up for the pizza guy too. It's an incredible privilege. It's an incredible blessing to be able to tap out what you want on your phone and have somebody just bring it to you. Like I'll never be bored with the idea that I can get on my phone and I can have all my household groceries dropped off. I can have all my clothes dropped off. I had a hammock dropped off today. I got a hammock with a stand. Mrs. Teresi's been talking about wanting one forever. So I got one of the woven cotton.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. You know what the new thing our family does when we say it? We're like, you're welcome, Jeff Bezos. Enjoy space every time something shows up.
But that will never bore me. I will never take for granted that we live in an era where I don't even have to type. I can open my phone and say, hey, phone, get me a stick of deodorant, and it'll be at my house tomorrow. I love that. And the people who drop that stuff off, I'm grateful that they're doing it. If I could tip the UPS guy, I would.
You know what I was thinking? I had seen this kind of floating around online. You might not be able to do that, but something that's cool, especially because it's so hot, is putting like a small cooler outside. Now, you can't put beers or things like that in there, but if you wanted to put, you know, waters or Gatorades or snacks or whatnot, and a little sign that says, you know, just grab one. If you are that house that literally has an Amazon worker there every day, it might be something to think about. We should do that for our Amazon guy here, honestly.
Our Amazon guy here should have a key to the executive washroom. Holy smokes. There's been a couple of times you walk out into the second floor lobby and it's like, uh-oh, Ray got a credit card.
Yeah, or Skip was doing a fundraiser.
All right. Well, when we get back, that whole why aren't people showing up to get excited to work for people who are arguing about whether or not 10% tip is adequate? Well, the other side, of course, is that the restaurants that they work for may not be much better. And that might be at the root of why we're having a problem getting people to show up. We'll talk about that after news with Aaron on KMJ.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
5:36 on KMJ, Skip Echeverria, Philip Teresi. Listen live worldwide at KMJNow.com. Comment coming in on social media. Jared saying, tipping should not be expected. If someone provides great service, tip what you feel is appropriate. If you get bad service, tip what you feel is appropriate. If you can afford to go out to eat, you can afford to tip. Unless you know for a stone fact that everything in that person's world is great and that bad service is just the result of them sucking, cough up.
I guess I just want to know, is Jared says that, but is he still a good tipper to most people? Or when he walks in, do people go, oh, not it?
Here's what I think. I think that DoorDash is going to be one of those things that is going to kind of inadvertently tell us more about people like Jared. Because it's possible that Jared's just taking a stern line because he's watched a little bit too much Ron Swanson and thinks that playing the Little Lord game is going to rock and roll. If Jared is one of those people who complains that DoorDash sucks because everything shows up late and cold, then we know that Jared's a crappy tipper. And that's your karma. Because DoorDash and Uber Eats and Postmates and all of those all effectively offer kind of similar driver side opportunity. If you meet somebody and they complain about how bad DoorDash is, you know that you're going out to dinner with a bad tipper.
Yeah. Well, let's go to some of the reasons why there might be some pushback. Okay, awesome. Jared says 20 to 30% when great service, Skip. Awesome. Okay, so I had hope, mostly because I saw our shared friends and I was like, my friends would not be friends with your friends if that was your attitude. So 20, 30% is great. But let's talk a little bit about why you see so many of those signs basically begging for workers to come back to restaurants in particular. And one person, I think, summed it up well in the following sentence. It was almost like there was this unplanned, unorganized general strike.
This guy's name is Lamar Cornett, and he's been working in restaurants in Kentucky for about 20 years. Basically, the only job he hasn't done at this point is he hasn't owned his own restaurant. He likes the work. It's rowdy. It's rewarding. It's fast-paced. Up until the pandemic. Now, Lamar, along with millions of other people who've been making a living in food service, have had time to contemplate the realities of the work.
Yeah, and that includes reflecting back on the fact that there were many a times where breaks were barely long enough to use the restroom or smoke a cigarette. Meals would be inhaled on the go. Just look at staff trying to work on holidays when it's at its busiest. Hostile bosses, crazy schedules, and pay that was less than favorable. And then, oh yes, rude customers, some that are flat out abusive.
Yeah. And restaurant staff are usually expected to just kind of roll with it. Yeah,
customer's always right.
Yeah. So now we're emerging from the shutdown to find that people are somehow even more impatient and obnoxious than they were before we all decided to shelter in place for 14 days to flatten the curve.
Yeah, so in having some time and some unpaid leave, folks like Cornette started to think about what it would be like to have a job that came with things like health insurance or paid leave or a steady paycheck. And it has been such a moment of maybe recalibration, if you will, that each month so far this year, 5% of the restaurant workforce has called it quits. In May alone, that was 706,000 people. So that's why you're starting to see those help wanted signs everywhere, and the sign-on bonuses oftentimes for restaurants.
So a lot of people cite low wages as their main reason for bailing on food service work. However, in one recent survey, more than half of the hospitality workers questioned say that no amount of pay will get them to return. And they say that, at least for many of them, has a lot to do with, of course, the exhausting work, the unreliable hours, but also so many rude customers.
I think, you know how sometimes you find yourself in, well, just for comparison's sake, like a bad relationship and you just normalize it and like, oh, there's nothing else out there. Or you just get through the grind and you like the people, or you like, you know, your in-laws or those kind of, and you stick around longer. And then all of a sudden you get.
Sorry, finish that thought.
You get a break, right? And then you're like, wait a second. That's not how this is supposed to go.
Yeah. You mean like the job I got fired from right before I came here? Oh my God. Like Stockholm syndrome. And then all of a sudden I had 30 days to cool my heels. And I really spent that 30 days going, I should go get a Cisco certification. Yeah, so while I never had it quite as intense as food service folks, I do kind of get it. Look, I don't think that anybody's going into restaurant work, especially at the entry level, thinking that they're going to make gobs and gobs of money. I think that anybody who's really paid attention to restaurant work, because I think there's two kinds of people that go in. There's people who want to be in restaurants and they want to be a chef, or they want to be a sommelier, or they want to be a good bartender or something like that. And then there's people that go into it because I'm going to school, or I'm trying to figure
out. Or I like the hours or flexibility, or yeah, those kind of things.
So you kind of got these two different groups. Whether you wanted to be in restaurants and therefore learned about restaurants before you showed up for your first shift at Denny's, or you took a job at Denny's because they would give you the hours that you wanted and there's some cash tips, you learned by the end of the first week that you're going to pay some dues. And if you aren't on point, if you don't do a good job, you'll lose hours. You'll lose tips. You'll have people ask to have a different server or complain to the manager. It's not an easy gig. And there's people who climb the food chain and there's people who don't. But nobody goes to work at the Olive Garden thinking that they're going to make a six-figure income as a waiter.
I saw a quote from Anthony Bourdain that that somebody I knew who worked in the restaurant business shared, and I wanted to share this. It says, you can always tell when a person has worked in a restaurant. There's an empathy that can only be cultivated by those who've stood between a hungry mouth and a $28 pork chop. A special understanding of the way a bunch of Motley misfits can be a family. Service industry work develops the soft skills recruiters talk about on LinkedIn. Discipline, promptness, the ability to absorb criticism, and most important, how to read people like a book. The work is thankless and fun and messy, and the world would be kinder, a kinder place if more people tried it. With all due respect to my former professors, I've long believed I gained more knowledge in kitchens, bars, and dining rooms than any college could even hold. There's a lot of beauty to be said to that.
Yeah.
However, I think that stepping back from it and recognizing there might be something else to do, or maybe you do want the stability of, in this article, this guy talks about just wanting a steady paycheck every pay period. Health insurance, time off. You know, maybe you're fine working holidays, but maybe you'd like to take a vacation. Those things, I think, after being able to sit for a year of watching what happened with the world, like there's a reorganization of priorities. And by the way, this guy, his big gig, because he was going to get out, he got a gig for $30,000 a year. He said it was life-changing over the $22,000 he was making a year. This is a chef running a place.
Yeah.
So you're not getting the tips on the backside.
And again, I go back to what I said. I don't think anybody starts out in this business thinking that they're going to get rich. Now, look, if you end up, you know, as the maitre d' at Spago, yeah, you're operating in a completely different environment, although I'm willing to bet that anybody working New York fine dining at a Michelin-starred restaurant would look cross-eyed at those words coming out of my mouth, too, because they got to pay New York rent. This isn't about people thinking that they're entitled to some ridiculous standard of living. This isn't about people having these big, crazy asks. Now, look, if you want consistent hours, the restaurant was the wrong place. That way you applied for the wrong job. Living wage? That's a tough one. It's an entry-level gig. I don't believe that a minimum wage is a necessary thing. Being treated like a human being should simply be assumed as a minimum standard. And this is where I look to the owners and the managers. You want to see things change in your restaurant. You want to see the attitude of your staff change in your restaurant. The next time you have somebody call the server a name, the next time you have somebody raise their voice because they didn't get their ranch quickly enough, tell them to hit the bricks. We don't need your business. If you can't be respectful to my staff, I don't need you to eat here. Have a nice day. Your dinner's been paid for. Goodbye.
I met a guy at it was just some little coffee place hooked up off of a gas station. We were on our way back from Anaheim because we like to try different spots, you know, if you can like avoid a chain, whatever. And we walked in and the guy, he said, "Where did you learn about us from?" And my husband said, I Yelped it. And he goes, "Well, good thing you didn't Yelp it in the last 30 minutes because I had a really angry person here. This person came in and ordered and they were mad that he took too long." They make lattes and food to order in a little coffee shop. And if I understand the background story, immigrant guy who came over, started this thing, like he's in Anaheim. Anyway, there was this scathing Yelp review about how dare this man take so long and he messed up on something. The guy offered to give him the whole order for free. And the guy was like, "No, it's fine." Left, wrote the nasty Yelp review. And that's the struggle, right? Because if you don't make people happy when they complain, for every 10 great experiences you might have, you maybe get one person that tells one person. You have a bad experience, you'll tell everybody.
There's an interesting question there about how does one actually read Yelp reviews? Because I don't read 5-star reviews. And if I read 1-star reviews, it's usually to laugh at them. I saw somebody leave a 1-star review for a pizza parlor because they thought that one of the arcade games in the lobby was dated. Like, if you're that petty, I'm going to go eat there just to spite you.
So as we're wrapping up the show, if you missed any part of it, you can find the podcast at kmjnow.com. And in the early part of the show, we did the rundown on Jeff Bezos, the second billionaire in the last week to make his way into outer space. Now, that space flight lasted 11 whole minutes, which sometimes can feel like a lifetime. And it was certainly expensive. However, there are a lot of things that have lasted longer than Jeff Bezos in space.
Hey, by the way, do we have a summary? Because I know people like to talk about how much it cost for him to go. But considering how much Bezos is worth and considering how much money he has marching around on his behalf, do we know how much Jeff Bezos made while he was traveling above the Earth?
Oh, you know what? It's one of the number one things popping up on Google right now, but off the top, I'm not finding it. Let's see here. He said that sales of Blue Origin space tourist flights are approaching 100 million already.
Yeah, but that's like five.
So I know, right?
So
this is buried here in some of the reporting. I'll keep looking.
So Bezos spent 11 minutes in space, which, by the way, is shorter than Branson's space adjacent 15 minute jaunt. We have a list of things that lasted longer than Jeff Bezos breaking the surly bonds of Earth.
And this is not from his ex-wife, Mackenzie. So, Quibi.
RuPaul's Drag You.
Waiting for the train during rush hour, or just trying to get through the 180-41 connection here.
The Doors song, The End.
An episode of Joe Parra Talks With You.
Shrimp Cinnamon Toast Crunch Guys fame.
Oh, that's gross. Chrissy Teigen deleting and reactivating her Twitter.
Kim Kardashian's marriage to Chris Humphries.
Joyce Manners, ST. I don't know what that is.
Alexi McCammon's stint as the EIC at Teen Vogue.
That sweet bowl cut from Joe Keery.
Waiting for an Amazon one-day delivery to arrive.
Twitter fleets.
Andrew Yang's run for mayor of New York City.
Oh, man, why did I get stuck with this one? Going to the bathroom with IBS. Sorry, IBS folks.
Oh, how about the length of time that Balloon Boy's parents claimed that he had spent floating in the sky?
New York Times fake Martian watermelon story being up.
Standing in line at the post office.
And reading or listening to this list.
This list, by the way, brought to you courtesy of avclub.com. We got to go. Mark Levin's up next. Thanks for your calls and your attention. We'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon.
Bye.